This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, I can walk in newness of life.
Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? It's a very familiar verse. We talk about it all the time here at Covenant Community Church. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible says that person is a new creation. You are not who you used to be. If you are a Christian, your life is supposed to be totally different from anybody else, and it's certainly supposed to be different from the way you used to be before you became a Christian. Amen? Amen? We are new creations in Christ. And understand this. It is only when you are living as a new creation that you can have abundant life. What are we all about here at Covenant Community Church? Abundant life. Amen. Equipping people for abundant life. That's what we're looking to. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what we're supposed to live. Abundant life. Catch it. It's like a caterpillar. You know what caterpillars are? Grubby little worms, right? Gray, got a lot of feet. They crawl along the ground, eat mud. But one day, they crawl into a cocoon. Amen? And just a little while later, that cocoon splits, and what comes out? Beautiful butterfly. Amen? Isn't that great? Beautiful butterfly. Many colors. And it doesn't crawl along the ground anymore. What does it do? It spreads its wings and it flies. Amen. The word says we're supposed to rise up with wings as eagles. Isn't that right? Now catch it. You cannot live the abundant life as a caterpillar. All you can do is crawl along the ground and eat mud. As long as you're a caterpillar. But once you are reborn as a butterfly, the abundant life is yours. Hallelujah. But catch this. You still got to spread your wings. Still got to spread your wings. Even after you've become a butterfly, if you want to, you can still get down on the ground and crawl along if you refuse to spread your wings. And you know, that's what we see about a lot of Christians today. We are supposed to be new creations, but you know what? We still see a lot of the old. I mean, we got butterflies walking around the church. Amen? But so much of the time, butterflies still act like caterpillars. I mean, think about it. You still see Christians that you can't trust. Isn't that right? You still see Christians that when they feel like they need to tell a lie to get over, what do? Well, you got to do what you got to do. Or they'll make you a promise, but you can't count on them to follow through on what they said. You still see Christians with bad attitudes. Any amen to that? Amen. Amen. Any of us looked in the mirror sometime and seen what our attitude looks like? Let me tell you where it gets real serious. There's a Christian pollster by the name of Barna, and he conducts polls among church people. And you know what he's telling us these days? It's hard for me to believe. I can't even understand it. But he's telling us that nowadays, Christians, people in our churches, are divorcing one another at a slightly greater rate than people outside. Now, you want to talk about still acting like a caterpillar. You see, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be new creations in Christ. But still, we got so much of the old stuff coming out. Well, what's the problem? What's the issue? Well, let me tell you what it is. Go over to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. This is our theme passage for today. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. The problem that Christians have that cripples their ability to walk in newness of life as new creations in Christ is summed up right here in Romans 6:1. Look at this. But what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know what the problem is that trips us up as Christians and keeps us crawling along the ground like a caterpillar instead of flying like the butterfly we're meant to be? So much of the time, we still have a casual, tolerant attitude towards sin in our lives. A casual attitude towards sin. Many Christians actually believe that because God loves them and Jesus died for them, they can still sin a little bit and it won't hurt them. In fact, they can even point to Scripture. Go back to Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, the passage that we looked at last week, talking about the grace of God. Look at it. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see what the word tells us? Where sin abounded, what does it say? Grace abounded more. What does that mean? It means that for any sin that you as a Christian have ever committed or will ever commit, the grace of God is sufficient to handle it. Jesus already died. He already shed his blood to take care of your sin. Your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. And what we found out last time is because of that grace of God that comes through the blood of Jesus, God is not mad at you. Not if you're a Christian. God is not mad at you. How many of you have messed up, sinned in some way in the last month? For most of us, I could say the last 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Guess what? God is not sitting up there saying, I'm going to get them. I'm tired of them messing up. What would it be like if God ever got tired of us messing up? Oh, man, wouldn't we be in trouble? God is not mad at us. He's not angry with us. And what we saw last time is because of the grace of God, the unmerited favor and sufficiency of God to meet every need. Because of the grace of God, God will never punish us for our sins again. The scripture says we are not under the wrath of God. Jesus already paid the price. Amen. Amen. You see, that's what it tells us about grace. That's what grace is all about. The unmerited, unlimited favor and sufficiency of God to meet every need. It covers every sin. But as we saw last time, again, the devil takes everything that God creates that's good and tries to corrupt it. Amen? And so when we start focusing on the grace of God, you know what the devil does? He tries to get us to take it to the extreme. Oh, yes, it's true that the grace of God covers every sin. But you know what that doesn't mean that the devil tries to get us to think it means? It does not mean that God is not concerned about every sin in our life. It does not mean that we can sin a little bit and get away with it. Because, you know, the grace of God covers it. So why not just go ahead? Paul says, if every time you sin, grace abounds, and the more you sin, the more the grace abounds of God. Why can't we just say, let us just keep on sinning so the grace of God can flow in our lives? He says, that's crazy. That's crazy. And the devil knows that the way to get to us as Christians is to make us think that we can sin a little bit. See, if you're a Christian, I have some confidence in you. I have confidence that if you're a Christian, even if you're short on cash, you're not going to go home, pull your gun out of your drawer, go down to the nearest Turkey Hill and knock it over. If you're a Christian, I have that confidence in you. Now, don't let me down. Amen. I have confidence in you. That I'm not going to go out on a street corner up on 6th Street or someplace and see you selling drugs. I have confidence in you. Amen? Guess what? The devil has that much confidence in you. The devil knows he's not going to get you as a Christian to commit those big sins. Big sins. So he says, no, I can't get them that way. Let me get them on some little stuff. Let me get them on the little stuff. And so you get up in the morning. You had a bad day yesterday. Didn't get enough sleep. You got an attitude. And the first person you see, what happens? Amen. Anybody been there? Amen. And what's the devil saying? I can't get you to go rob a bank or rob a store, but I can get you to have a bad attitude and think you're okay. You see, that's what the devil is doing. He tries to keep us telling those little white lies to get over in our situations, thinking that, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Or don't let me step on too many toes today. He tries to keep us thinking that we can gossip about people behind their back. Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's okay. God understands. You ever heard anybody say that? God understands. Well, God does understand. He understands it's sin. And there are consequences to sin. There is no such thing as a little sin and a big sin. Sin is sin. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of rebellion against God. Let me give you a definition of sin. And this is not a technical definition. This is a working definition, so you can really get it. Amen? When you know what God wants, and you know what you want, and you choose to do what you want instead of what God wants, you are sinning. That's it. Anytime you know what God wants, and you know what you want, and you decide to do what you want instead of what God wants, you are sinning. That's what sin is all about. Disobedience to God. And understand this, a casual, tolerant attitude toward a little sin in our lives will destroy our ability to live the abundant life. Look at what God's attitude is toward Christians who think they can love God most of the time, but they're okay with a little bit of sin some of the time. Go over to Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. One thing I love about Scripture is it's so graphic. It gives you a picture, a word picture that you can see in your mind. So look at the word picture in these verses. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Talking about Christians, and this is written to Christians, talking about Christians who think they can love God most of the time and sin a little of the time. I know your works, that you are neither hot or neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Can you get the picture? Any of you like hot soup? Hot soup? Uh-huh. Now, what's hot soup like when you leave it out on the counter overnight and then you go to eat it? God says, spew it, vomit it out of its mouth. He says, I want you to either be cold or hot. If you're going to be cold, be cold. In other words, what? If you say that if you're not going to be totally for him, then don't make any pretense about it. Don't play. Don't think you can have a little bit of him and a little bit of yourself and a little bit of whatever you want. No, be cold or be hot. Either be hot for Jesus, man, I am on fire for Jesus, hallelujah. Whatever he calls me to do, wherever he wants me to go, whatever he tells me is his will for me, I'm on it because, Lord, I love you. You either be that way or just make up your mind, since I'm not going to be hot for him, I'm not going to play games with God, so let me just back off and be honest about it. No, right now I'm doing my own thing. I don't make any claims to be trying to follow Jesus. That's what God is saying. This thing about I can sin a little bit, I can disobey God in these little areas of my life. Lord, I'm going to obey you in 95%. Isn't that good? Lord, 95%, isn't that good? You know what God's standard is? You know what the passing grade in God's kingdom is? 100. Only 100% will do. Amen? That's why we needed the blood of Jesus, because guess what? We already messed up from 100, isn't that right? If it was up to us, none of us would probably get up over 25. But it's the blood of Jesus that fills in that gap, praise God. Only 100% will do. And God is saying, if we want to be new creations or to live as new creations, because we are new creations in Him, if we know Christ, that's who we are. But if we want to live as new creations so that we are able to live the abundant life, we've got to make a choice. Am I going to be totally for God or am I going to play around? You noticed in the bulletin, our anniversaries. There's a very significant anniversary in the month of September. Priscilla and I were married in, what is it now, 4 years ago now? All right. Amen. We're an old married couple. Hallelujah. Now, in September of 1997, I was a free man. I was a free man. I could do anything I wanted to do, go anywhere I wanted to go, and go there with anybody I wanted to go with, as long as they wanted to go with me. Amen? If I wanted to have several lady friends, I could have them. Praise God. And then came that fateful day. Priscilla and I stood up before the pastor in our church, and we said some vows to one another. And do you know what happened on that day? I became a new man. I became a new man. I used to be me. You know what the scripture says now? Once I stood up with her, I became we. I became us. Scripture says we became one flesh. I can no longer do my own thing. Amen? I'm a new person now. Now, suppose I said to Priscilla, you know, Priscilla, I'm glad I'm married to you. Praise God, you're a wonderful wife. But, you know, I had some good friends before we got married. And, you know, I kind of like to just kind of keep on doing what I was doing before we got married. Any of you know Priscilla well enough to know what she'd say to that? No, what's she going to say? No, wait a minute. Hold on. That day, September 5th, 1998, made a difference in your life. You are no longer the person you used to be. You are a new creation. And what was appropriate for you before the change is no longer appropriate for you now. It was all right for me to have some girlfriends before. It is no longer all right. Amen? Before you got saved, you did what you wanted to do. You did what you thought was good for you. You walked the way you wanted to walk, talked the way you wanted to talk, dressed the way you wanted to dress, went where you wanted to go, spent your money on what you wanted to spend it on. And then you got saved. And you know what God says? You are no longer who you used to be. What was appropriate for you back then is no longer appropriate for you now. What were you back then? You were a sinner. Isn't that right? And what is appropriate for sinners? To sin. That's what they do. Tony Evans says it's their job description, and they do a good job. But once you get saved, understand it, you are no longer a sinner. You become a saint. Go back over to Romans chapter 6. Look at this. Let me read the first four verses of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do you see it? It says we died with him. The old you was buried through baptism when you came into Christ. It is dead. And you are dead to sin. You can no longer walk in sin as your natural element. You are not a sinner anymore. We were out at the swim club for the picnic last night. Nice big swimming pool out there. Catch this now. Suppose I went down to the pet store and got some goldfish and took them out there and put them in the swimming pool. What would they do? They'd be as happy as they could be. Be swimming around there. No, not even any big fish to eat them up. Amen. They just have a wonderful time out there in that swimming pool. Why? Because water is their natural element. But suppose I go out there and I get in the water and I start diving down and I want to stay and swim under the water. You know what? It'd take me about 10 seconds and I'll start getting uncomfortable. Why? I'm not built to exist underwater. I don't know how long you can hold your breath. But I don't put my, you know, a minute is a long time to try to hold your breath. Amen? A long time. Why? Because we are not fitted to be underwater dwellers. You see, I am not fitted any longer to be a sinner. I'm a new creation in Christ. It's like if you had a fish and you take him out of the water and instead of gills, you give him lungs and then you try to throw him back in the water, he'll drown because he's not fitted for the water anymore. Well, that's what's happened to us. We were there in the sea of sin and we were swimming right along. All wrong with all the rest of the sinners. Amen. Hey, I thought up a new sin. Let's go do it. I'm with you, bro. And you do it a couple of times, you say, that was some good sinning. Let's go do it again. But catch it. That's not who you are anymore. You can no longer breathe in that water. You are a new creation in Christ. And the scripture says, you are dead to sin. Think about it this way. Can I be just a tiny bit gross today? When you were growing up, there was a time in your life when you were alive to diapers. Isn't that right? There was a time in your life when you were alive to diapers. Now, for most of us here today, I hope you are now dead to diapers in your life. Amen? In other words, there was a time in your life when diapers were the appropriate thing for you. But that's not true any longer. You have passed that stage. And guess what? If you ever go back to that stage, it's an indication that something is drastically wrong in your life. Isn't that right? If you ever go back, something is wrong. Well, that's what it is with us. The scripture says, I am dead to sin. I am no longer a sinner. And if I go back, there is something drastically wrong in my life. If you are a Christian with unrepented sin in your life, you are like a fish out of water. And let me tell you what the danger is. You will either become very uncomfortable with your sin, or you will become very uncomfortable with God. We tend to back away from things that make us uncomfortable. Isn't that right? I don't know how many of you ever touched a hot stove when you were a child, but all it took was once. And then what happens? You start backing away from hot stoves. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian who has sin in your life, God will make you uncomfortable. Go over to Isaiah chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Isaiah had a vision of God. Scripture says he saw him high and lifted up. Saw God in all of his holiness and purity. And so what was his natural reaction when he had this vision and saw God as he really is? Isaiah 6:5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? I am uncomfortable, because when I look at God in his holiness, I see how unholy I am. And guess what? That is exactly what the Holy Spirit will do to you if you're a Christian with unconfessed sin in your life. Go over to John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Look at what the job of the Holy Spirit is in the world today. One of the things that is his mission on this earth. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to convict of sin. That's one of the things that he does in the life of the believer in Christ. When you as a Christian sin, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict you of your sin. In other words, to make you uncomfortable, to not give you any peace with your sin. Catch it. If you truly are a Christian and you've got sin going on in your life, some area of disobedience to God that you're holding on to, thinking, well, it doesn't matter that much. It's not that bad. You know, God understands. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to make you uncomfortable until you deal with that issue in your life. He will make you uncomfortable. Look at John chapter 8, verse 9. Look at what he'll do to you. Remember the woman that was taken in adultery? They're getting ready to stone this woman, the Pharisees and all of the righteous folk getting ready to stone her. Jesus turned to them and said, well, look, let the one of you that has no sin in his life, let him be the first one to throw a stone. And look at what happened. John 8, 9. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. They were convicted by their conscience. Understand, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will stir up your conscience when you are being disobedient to God. Don't ever override your conscience. When you get that little voice in the back of your head saying, this is not really right. You know, you really shouldn't be doing what you're doing. Don't override that. How many of you know that we can always rationalize? We can always figure out a reason for doing what we want to do. Amen? I mean, human beings are good at that. But God has given us that little voice in the back of our mind, that conscience, and he stirs it up. And when it speaks to us, if we override it, we are automatically in sin. Understand something. Even if the thing that you're getting ready to do, God does not account to be a sin. If you do it in violation of your conscience, you have sinned. Romans chapter 14. So anytime you hear that little voice speaking to you, you need to stop and say, God, I got to get this straightened out before I go ahead. I can't do what I'm planning on doing because it's not right or I'm not comfortable with it. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website, at covcomchurch.org. That's C-O-V-C-O-M-M church.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.